Okay, welcome back to the second hour of the American Activist on the Republic Broadcast Network. And my name is Ingrid Castle, your host, and our guest is Dr. David Ayoub. And we've been talking about a paper he wrote in the summer 2006 edition of the American Journal of Physicians and Surgeons. And it's Influenza Vaccine and Pregnancy, Critical Assessment of the Recommendations of the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. And it's really telling, you know, what you and Dr. Yazbek come up with. So why don't you just go ahead and share some of the more incredible stuff that you found.
Well, the CDC, specifically the Advisory Committee for Immunization Practices, has sort of been inching up and strengthening their recommendations for flu vaccine during pregnancy since about 1995. They initially came out then and they recommended it for third trimester only and just high-risk pregnancies, you know, women that had heart disease and asthma and so forth. And then gradually it added the second trimester, and then finally in 2004 suggested all trimesters should now routinely get influenza vaccine. So there was definitely a strengthening. Now, the basis that they were telling women that they should get this is that pregnancy was a state of apparently altered immune status because there is a higher risk of getting influenza, and the consequences of getting influenza while you're pregnant are significant. You know, there's significantly worse outcomes. Well, we couldn't find any scientific evidence to support that. You know, study after study basically said no big deal, and at the most. And even some of the government-funded studies, at the most, they said that their hospitalization rates were a little bit higher. But those are mostly in county hospitals, looking at, you know, Medicaid population, or Medicare, rather, public aid population that has a lot of other comorbidity. And they really could only demonstrate a couple of extra days in the hospital. So there was no evidence that it caused more mortality or more morbidity, just maybe a bigger bill. And that included the hospitalizations that they're actually delivering their baby. So there was really no evidence. And a huge study came out from Europe last year basically saying the same thing. There is no difference in outcomes of pregnant and non-pregnant women who get the flu. No big deal. The other thing that I should dispel, the myth of 36,000 deaths a year. I think a lot of people are motivated to go get health care if they think it can save their life. There are not 36,000 deaths from flu every year. That's a mathematical model that the CDC states. I have not seen the details of that model, but there is no factual basis of that. Those are highly hypothetical numbers. You can actually get from the CDC, the National Vital Statistics, causes of death, and we were able to calculate that the number of deaths from all cases of all ages really amounts to no more than 2,000 deaths a year. What they do in that database, they combine influenza and pneumonia together, and they come up with numbers in the 60 to 80,000 range. Now, if you've been to a hospital, I'm a radiologist, so I see X-rays all year long. Most people that die of pneumonia, it's not influenza. It's people that had chemotherapy, elderly patients in heart failure in the ICU. It has nothing to do with seasonal influenza. But if you look at the age groups, the pregnant women, the number of deaths we saw in reproductive age women, 20 to 40, was no more than 13 deaths a year. And we actually found more women died from the flu shot then died from the flu, if you just look at the VAERS database, the CDC and FDA's passive reporting system. So it looks like it's a lot more dangerous to get the flu shot than to not get it if you're a pregnant age of pregnancy.
And the other thing is that they've associated heart attacks with the flu vaccine itself or heart failure. So here they're recommending for pregnant women that have a weak heart to get the flu vaccine.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what the mechanism of that is, whether it's acute viral myocarditis or a viral syndrome in the lungs, but there are the deaths, if you go through the VAERS cases, and I've gone through a lot of them, just horrific, very short-term mortality rates.
Okay, we have a commercial break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Dr. David Ayoub with your host, Ingrid Castle.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Okay, welcome back to the American Activist. We're going to go ahead and take callers the second half hour, so really the last 30 minutes of the show. So we're going to continue talking about the flu vaccine, but I really just got to mention this. Meryl Dorey just sent me her newsletter. She's with the Australian Vaccine Network, and they've known the connection between heart attacks and flu vaccines for a long time. It's the mercury, actually, that totally weakens the cardiovascular system. But anyway, she says, Australian icon Dr. Archie Calacrinos tells the story of how when he was in the U.S. in the early 70s being interviewed on radio about the dangers of vaccination, he discussed the link between flu vaccination and cardiac arrest. He says that at that time, two of the biggest mafia families in New York were warring, and the leader of one, having heard Dr. Calacrinos talk about this, and knowing that the leader of the other family, his enemy, had a weak heart, he had a trusted associate suggest to the other family that their leader have a flu vaccine. And within 24 hours, he was dead of a heart attack. Natural causes, no shots fired except for the medical one. Now, after over 30 years later, people are still dying of heart attacks after flu vaccinations, and doctors still ask themselves if there could be a connection. A pretty amazing little story, huh?
Yeah, it's funny. Well, we talked about mortality, myths about the mortality from influenza, and the other myth, before we get into the reproductive harm, is how effective is the flu shot? And you hear over and over again public health officials saying that the flu shot is, what, 70 to 90% effective? And it really depends on how they define effectiveness. They actually mean efficacy, and there's a difference between the term efficacy and effectiveness. Effectiveness is what we care about. You know, if I get the shot, what are the chances it will prevent the flu? And based on the CDC's own statistics, they publish weekly during the flu season, the effectiveness we calculated is about no more than 7.2%, and probably closer to, you know, 4.5%, 5%, because there's a significant number of people don't even produce antibodies. So that's just basically if you get a flu shot and if you, you know, during the season, are you going to get the flu? And that's the percentage. Most flu cases aren't due to influenza virus or other viruses or even bacteria. So it's not very effective and probably just above chance, to be honest. I can't say it's completely ineffective, but statistically speaking, its effectiveness is remarkably low. Well, what about harm? You would think that it would be unwise to inject mercury of any kind into a pregnant person because we know mercury causes birth defects and abortions. And sure enough, this form of mercury, which is ethyl mercury, and a lot of physicians have been told, well, this is a safer form of mercury, and I would say, well, prove it. I know a lot of people say that, but we haven't found the evidence. We only found three papers that injected thimerosal in pregnant animals, and every paper, this goes back to 1972, in every animal study, in every route given, it causes abortions in animals in a dose-related manner. So it is an animal abortifacient. There is absolutely no question. And the fact that it does, and the drug inserts say it hasn't been, the flu vaccine hasn't been tested in pregnant animals, it really is in violation, in my opinion, of the federal and state, and most state, Food and Drug and Cosmetic Acts, because a component of the flu shot is thimerosal, and it is a known animal abortifacient. That should be clearly stated on the package inserts and on the bottle, and recipients of this vaccine should be warned.
Right.
So that's the first step. It is biologically possible that this is an abortifacient. What about the human evidence? Well, we found it, and actually I'll give Ed Yazbach credit for this. I looked through the VAERS database, and I found initially a number of cases of abortions occurring in women. Now, the VAERS database is a passive reporting system. I think we talked a little bit about that. So it only represents probably, you know, my feeling is less than 1% of all the true complications that occur from vaccines. But it gives you an idea what might be out there, and it's been used by the government to pull vaccines, like the rotavirus the first time got pulled because of about 12 cases of bowel obstruction were detected. But Ed looked at this closer than I did, and he goes, you know what, I think we have evidence here that this is a human abortifacient. He looked, and he saw what we call a geographical and temporal cluster. In 2005, late 2005, there were four or five cases reported from North Carolina. And I say four or five because one of these reports was a combined report, and it wasn't really completely filled out. But we at least have four cases, and these weren't first trimester abortions. These were second and third trimester abortions, and this doesn't happen very often spontaneously. These occurred on dates, let's see, October 25th, October 26th, October 26th, and November 4th, all North Carolina. There's only one other case in the whole country reported in Mississippi. So four out of five cases occurred within a week or so in the same state, and there was only two vaccine lots involved, and these vaccine lots were hot. In other words, they had other reports in other recipients, more than 10 reports. One of these had 50 reports. So this is, you know, stillbirth, fetal demise at 32 weeks, 39 weeks. This is very late. This is incredible, and I think, you know, any public health official looking at this would recognize with shared vaccine lots and a temporal and geographical cluster, this is evidence that this vaccine has caused fetal demise. And something very odd happened. After we published this, we found a letter to the editor from a vaccine safety officer from the CDC. And I think this is kind of an example of how subtly they spin the results. Vitaly Poole is the immunization safety officer at the CDC, and he wrote the American Journal of OB-GYN editorial, a letter to the editor, in 2006, and this was in response to a study done in, I think, Houston, Texas, in the previous year on flu vaccine and pregnancy. And the study wasn't that great. They actually if the woman didn't have a normal kid that made the first well baby visit, they were excluded from the study. So they would have never found abortions because they were deleted from the study. Well, the safety officer wrote and said, well, this is a great study. It proves that it's safe. And we happened to look at the VAERS database, which is kind of odd because so did we. But here's what he said. He goes, between 2000 and 2003, we received 26 reports of flu vaccine use in pregnancy. And he says, goes on to say that there was, you know, a couple abortions, but they were, you know, probably not related. Well, why does this guy from the CDC write a letter in 2006 and only look at the VAERS database from 2000 to 2003 when he clearly has access to what I had access to? So he knows that there's a cluster in North Carolina in 2005. He doesn't want to go there because if he knows, if he added here that he looked at the most current data, you got a problem.
Right.
So they know.
Well,
they clearly
if he
know.
Wants to keep his job, which is to promote and push vaccines, he will skirt around data that proves a connection.
Yeah, and exactly. I mean, they're defending their own territory. And since I wrote this article, I've gotten a number of emails and phone calls from women, even OB-GYN nurses, who have seen this, have experienced this. And I had a case. Since I do ultrasounds, particularly on call, and we see a lot of fetal demises and ectopic pregnancies and so forth, and a physician's wife got a flu shot just before she conceived. I'm not sure why they're giving a healthy woman a flu shot. And she had a double pregnancy. One was ectopic, and the other was aborted. A very, very rare situation. It turns out that mercury is toxic to cilia. And what would be the clinical presentation of that? Well, it could be infertility because you need cilia for sperm motility. But the fallopian tube passes the ovum with cilia. So if somebody would get a load of mercury prior to conception, it would lead to a higher risk of ectopic pregnancy. And I can't tell you proof that this is a particular case. But the only study that looked at cilia function, guess where I found that? It was on the FDA's website under a table of 8 articles that proved thimerosal is safe.
Amazing. Wow. That proved it safe. You know, a lot of people may be confused. We have thimerosal. That's the preservative and adjuvant use in many vaccines. And we're talking about the flu shot. But, you know, we also hear the methylmercury. Well, it's not the same. And I want you to just, is there really much of a difference? Because I have a UCLA study here that they did on mice that pretty much shows how dangerous this ethylmercury is. It, obviously, they don't want you to know about it, but they've been, you know, repeatedly warning us that, yes, mercury is dangerous, but it's the methylmercury from coal-fired plants and that get in fish and, you know, this kind of thing.
Well, that's funny. Well, there are not a lot of comparative studies, but there's not a single study I'm aware of that shows that you can take ethylmercury or thimerosal and drop it on any living tissue and not come up with an adverse outcome, a biological effect. It is not safe under, you know, you just can't drop, you know, a small amount enough. Now, there are some comparative studies that are worth mentioning. Probably the best study that was done is done by Tom Burbacher at the University of Washington in the one of the National Primate Centers. He took, and it makes a lot of sense, this is how anyone, I think, would logically design a study, he took thimerosal in vaccines, and he injected juvenile primates, which would be comparable in age to children that were getting the routine vaccines.
Right.
And he adjusted the dose on a weight-adjusted basis, so they had similar doses, and he compared it to methylmercury that was ingested. Now, the EPA doesn't have any limits on ethylmercury. They never didn't. There's not enough studies for them to model it, but there's plenty with methyl, and they're very close. They sound similar, but they're both organic. So, and traditionally, before all this controversy came up, scientists used that for all organic mercury limitations, basically. It was a daily reference dose, how much you can get every day and stay beneath that and not have a potentially neurological outcome. He found that, and you will hear the spin, that ethyl mercury or vaccine mercury leaves the blood faster. And that's been spun. The pediatricians and public health officials say, well, it leaves the body. No. It leaves the blood.
It absolutely doesn't. Okay, we're coming up on a break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Dr. David Ayoub talk about the real truth on mercury and vaccine.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Okay, welcome back to the American Activist. We have Dr. David Ayoub on the line, filling us in on the real dangers with mercury. And you know, we don't have much time before we take some callers the second half of the hour, and actually very little time. But we now have this HPV vaccine mandate. I know it's kind of late to introduce this, but they're really pushing on mandating this human papillomavirus vaccine known as Gardasil in all these different states. And you did write an excellent paper on what is wrong with the HPV vaccine mandate in Illinois. And there's this effect brings on a whole other topic, because there's no mercury in this particular shot, but there's a whole 30 micrograms of aluminum, which is shocking in itself. Another heavy metal.
Yeah, it's another heavy metal. And the concentration in this shot exceeds the FDA limit of injectables by 18,000.
Wow.
That's the kind of concentration we're talking about. It's a very reactive. We have 600, over 600 reports already to VAERS. And Diane Harper, one of the researchers on the HPV vaccine, came out as, you might as well call it a whistleblower. She came out in the press just a day or two ago. I don't know if you read that piece. It was in an Indiana and Ohio regional newspaper system, saying that this is a public health experiment. It has not been tested for safety in these girls, and it's possible that it could actually increase cancer rates. So it's very premature to mandate this vaccine, and that's what pretty much the science shows. Merck studied 95% of the people they studied in their 10,000 women injected were over the age of 13, and yet they're mandating it for 11 to 12-year-olds. So we virtually have only a few hundred cases of even injecting this. But look at the VAERS reports. 40% of the reports are in kids this age. So and it makes sense. It has a heavy metal.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's toxic, it'll be toxic on a weight-adjusted basis. So these are the smallest kids that are getting the largest relative dose of aluminum. The control groups in most of these studies had aluminum.
Right.
And 25% of pregnant women that got it lost their baby.
Yeah, 25%. It's so shocking because it's not really what I would consider an infectious disease, you know, what's spread through droplets in the air, or sneezing, coughing, or that kind of thing. I mean, you know, you have to have sexual contact, but there's these HPV viruses that are circulating in most people in some way. It just doesn't proliferate and actually cause problems in healthy people. So, and then, you know, if it does cause a problem, you know, from basically having nutritional deficiencies or having, you know, for certain lifestyle choices, generally you're not going to have cervical cancer until you're later in life. This is like in your 40s and 50s. This is where the cervical cancer rates are. And they say the vaccine only lasts like 3 years before you'd have to get a booster. Is that right?
Well, they don't know. They don't know for sure. I think they're basically soft-pedaling this. You will, if it gets recommended, they will add males and they will add booster shots at least one more time, if not twice, you know, prior to high school and prior to college. So we're talking about, you know, $20 billion in sales for Merck just from getting these mandates and the
right.
evolution of these mandates. So we don't know. And who's comfortable injecting a virus that can cause cancer into your bloodstream without knowing that there's long-term cancer effects? And so we don't know whether this isn't going to be a carcinogen
right.
in women. And it can act.
We alluded to that last month. We did quite a bit on that. And Vera Shirov calls HPV help pay for Vioxx.
Yeah. And this won't be another Vioxx for Merck because this is covered under the Vaccine for Kids program. So if there is, and there will be complications, there are complications, this will go to the vaccine court, which is a no-fault system in the U.S. Court of Claims. So they're going to be alleviated from that burden of paying out billions of dollars in lawsuits.
Right. Well, that's the way you recover. When you have this 1986 Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, it totally took the pharmaceutical industry off the hook for any liability associated with vaccines, you know, causing death or permanent injury. So now we have quite an amazing business that's, to me, 100% pure profit. You have NIH doing much of their research and development. You have the CDC doing their marketing. And then you have, mandates going through the state, so every man, woman, and child is your marketplace, and then you have zero liability thanks to the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. It's quite a profitable business. I don't know of any like it on the planet. So, you know, Vioxx, yeah, they had to face all these lawsuits, and what other way to recover is through a vaccine that's 100% pure profit.
Well, they're looking at $10 billion in losses from Vioxx, and they just announced, Merck did, that they have to pay, $5 or $6 billion in tax violations. So give you an idea about a company that's moral compass may be broken.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking down a deep ravine right now, and
right.
This is one way for them to climb back out of it.
But they have no incentive to even produce a safe vaccine, and efficacy is based only on antibody production. It has nothing to do with tests in the field, whether it's actually effective or not.
Well, their studies, you know, they cherry-picked their patient population. They eliminated high-risk women. So
mm-hmm.
much like they did in Vioxx, in their studies, they took out people with high risk for cardiovascular disease.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't show cardiovascular complications because they were a younger group of people. And in here, they looked at women with much lower sexual activity. I mean, the highest sexual activity women were removed. So
right.
they can create the science they want to sell their vaccine. That's what they've done.
Well, we're actually coming up on a break, and you're listening to Dr. David Ayoub. We're talking about vaccines.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Okay, welcome back to the American Activist. We're talking about the HPV vaccine that's being pushed in all 50 states, but much more aggressively in some over others. But anyway, Dr. David Ayoub, our guest, has written an excellent paper on this for the state of Illinois, What is Wrong with the HPV Vaccine Mandate in Illinois. I do want to mention that on page 10, my column in the February edition of the Idaho Observer, and that's online, we covered the whole study that, you know, was used to license Gardasil, and it is rather shocking because our analysis of their data was that it was actually showed 0% effective because no one in the, quote, unvaccinated group, which was not totally unvaccinated, but not just not with the Gardasil, and the vaccinated group, both did not come down with cervical cancer, but it was not very long that they studied, of course, because these were young people, and you would have to get them up to 40 to 55 years of age, which is where most of the cervical cancer cases occur, to actually show that it does prevent cervical cancer. So a short study like that, it really, they're saying it's 100% effective. It's really quite ridiculous. Do you want to comment on that, David?
Well, it's, you know, the devil's in the detail. How do you define effectiveness? and antibody production, which is a limited interpretation, particularly when we're talking about antibodies to the vaginal mucosa and cervical mucosa. You know, it's one thing to get antibodies in your blood, but you don't produce the same level in the cervical mucosa as you do the bloodstream, and we really don't know whether cervical cancer is an immune deficiency, you know. We know there's known risk factors, and that includes tobacco and birth control pill use and multiple sexual partners and lower socioeconomic background. So what do some of these have to do with antibodies? I'm not really sure. So it looks like a crapshoot to me, but they defined effectiveness as antibody production and also development of these precursor lesions, cervical intraepithelial neoplasia, type 2 and type 3, which can come and go. So, and it takes at least 8 to 12 years to go from a precursor lesion to a cancer. And not everyone who gets those it's inevitable that goes to cancer. So, it's, you know, the other thing I want to point out is JAMA, there was an article published in JAMA a couple weeks ago, which half the press got it wrong, half the press got it right. HPV is very frequent of some type. There's over 100 strains. So 25% of women culture positive, and this is women from 16 to, you know, late 40s, 50s, but only 3.5% of women have any strain that matches what's in the vaccine. So 97% of the women that would get this would be worthless anyway, basically. They're not they're not candidates. They don't even have that. So, and they want to vaccinate only 11 to 12-year-olds. Well, in reality, this study shows that 97% of the women are candidates because they say they want to give the vaccine before exposure. But if 97% of the women don't have HPV of, you know, types that are in the vaccine, why not give it to all those women? And
yeah,
they're clearly not targeting it.
Well, exactly.
That's not the biggest. I mean, you have leverage when you can threaten school enrollment at the age of 11 years old for sixth grade. You have a market that you control. But how many adults are going to want to, you know, have their arms twisted? And there's just no way to twist an adult's arm. You know, you can't mandate it to an adult.
Right.
Not yet, anyway.
Right. But you got to capture school children because we have
right.
this precedence of requiring a certain, what I call a medical religion has infiltrated the public school system, and they've set that precedent that in order to get into public school, you have to have these vaccines, and then they just arbitrarily keep increasing the schedule. It's really kind of creepy to me. I wouldn't want to put my kids in public school today, but that's a whole other topic. I want to open up the caller line. The number is 800-313-9443. You know, David, we could talk about this for a long time, obviously, but I know we have a couple callers. They probably want to get a little more specific on how they can access maybe your papers or and your Google video is excellent. I encourage people to watch that 1.5-hour presentation. If you can access the internet, it's very, very important what he presented. It was back in 2005, is that right?
Yeah, I believe so. The fall of 2005. I've got a couple. I have a lecture that's just getting revised now. It's a 2-hour lecture I gave in Chicago last week that'll be on autismmedia.org shortly.
Mm-hmm.
And that has hundreds of hours of free videos.
Autismmedia.org?
Right.
Wow, that's good to know. Autismmedia.org. So please write that down. And that has lots of video presentations that you would recommend.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, that sounds really good. Okay, well, we have Dave from Arkansas on the line. Dave, can you hear me?
Good morning, Angry, and Dr. David. How are y'all?
Good, thank you.
Great.
10 blue ribbons for your beautiful work exposing this very dangerous situation. We know the situation, and on my website I have the solution to this problem. It's an actual notice of parental authority to refuse consent to include vaccination, sex education, family profiling, psychiatric screening, psychotropic drug dispensing, or obesity testing. This document, if the people will use it, has real teeth in it regarding vaccinations, okay? So my website is nomoreserfs, S-E-R-F-S, .com. Click on Documents, and it will be the first one. actual notice of parental authority to refuse consent.
Okay. Do you have a specific question for Dr. Ayoub?
Well, we know the problem. Let's use the solution, right? In the law, your silence is your consent.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start noticing these so-called school authorities.
Mm-hmm.
And execute this document, because it goes to the school board, it goes to the school principal, and also the director of education at the state level. So if people choose to use this, do a select all copy and put it in your word processor, and go ahead and delete the heading common law copyright. Take that out of there. Go ahead and edit it to your own personal circumstances. This one is for a mother and father, so it can be edited for a single parent.
But so you recommend that people go to KnowMoreSerfs, which is SERFS.org?
.com.
.com. Okay.
Right, right.
Okay, to access this. Well, I appreciate your call.
Just as a...
You know, that actually lends to a whole other topic about the education system itself. And, you know, to me, this the medical experimentation that was going on in public schools as a prerequisite for, you know, allegedly getting an education, I don't even call it an education anymore, but that will lend to another topic. I'll probably have to get Charlotte Iserby as a guest on our program and just talk about how far education has evolved into this country, so that you're really just being trained as undiscerning robots for the New World Order versus critical thinking human beings, you know, that are responsible for their welfare. So anyway, that's a whole other topic. But so anyhow, David, do you have any comments on any of that, you know, about empowering people to take a stand?
Well, I agree with the caller's comments, and I've got the website open, and I refer, I get a lot of phone calls and emails from parents who want to know about what their rights are for their kids, and frankly, I'm undereducated with regards to that myself, so I appreciate the caller's information. I'm going to look this over.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I've got two babies right now, so I'm going to face the same issues, and whether we even go to public school is highly doubtful at this point. But if we do, we certainly need to know how to protect our rights and our children's rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things we have at the Vaccination Liberation website is what we call an acceptance of medical liability or medical responsibility. And these are, you know, clearly very risky medical procedures. I mean, we even call it a surgery. There is some people really question us with that. But it's breaking the skin, and you're injecting something in. And so this is, you know, it requires informed consent. And when you have this kind of procedure that's fraught with the risk of death and permanent disability, even if they're saying it's 1 in 10,000, we, of course, say it's much higher. So, you know, it behooves you not to protect yourself legally. If someone's trying to force this kind of risky medical procedure on you, they should be willing to also accept medical liability. And those forms are available on our website on our exemption page.
Very good.
Okay, do we have any other callers? Wendy in Florida. Wow, Wendy in Florida. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Ingrid.
Do you have a specific question for Dave?
Yes. First of all, I do want to tell him how much I admire him, and I think he is just absolutely fantastic. I would really like to have a copy of everything that he does. Does he put together a package that he can send to parents or, you know, new moms, people that you want to introduce the subject to? Does he have anything like that?
If you email me, I will send you, I have basically a flyer with a lot of suggestions and websites and resources, and I will send you, you know, where to go and get a lot of the materials that I've put together and sites that I really trust, including Ingrid's website, of course, and so we can get started that way, and I'll be happy to give out my email address.
Oh, thank you. I would absolutely love to have that. I do the same thing, vaccine education, and I would love to incorporate everything you have in my stuff. It's just absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much.
Actually, Wendy, well, I should say that Wendy Callahan is our co-director of vaccination liberation in Florida, and she is the first person to put a billboard up in her area in Gainesville, Florida, that says, love them, protect them, never inject them. It's quite a strong statement, but we say that the only truly informed choice is complete avoidance and refusal, and the more you research this topic, you'll understand the veracity of that statement. But I wanted to go ahead and mention, should we give out your email?
Yeah, sure. Please do. Please do. I'm going to give you the raypoke@mac.com. It's R-A-Y-P-O-K-E, like slowpoke, but raypoke.
Okay.
At mac, M-A-C, .com.
Wonderful. I'll definitely email you, because I would love to have a copy of everything you have. You're just fantastic, and I thank you so much for what you're doing.
Well, thank you. You know, a lot of the work I do is based, I've gathered data that other people have done as well. I mean, most of my lecture is not stuff that I have done personally. So there's an awful lot of, you know, courageous researchers and physicians that are telling the story, too, and I give them a lot of credit for what I do.
You know, the fact that you have MD behind your name and you say that, it's just, it means so much more than the average, you know, person on the street saying it. So I truly appreciate your courage.
Well, thank you.
Well, that's certainly a twist on some of these things, you know, where, you know, you actually are being applauded for having MD. For a lot of people, they still believe that title is the expert. They want to be able to defer their own health power to an expert that has an MD after their name, and it is. It is extremely important, the work that you're doing, and that you lend our movement credibility. So, yeah, my hat's off to you, David. You're really doing an amazing job. And I was going to put out the caller line again. It's 800-313-9443. Is there another caller, Thomas, at this time? Okay. David in Texas, you're on the American Activist. I'm sorry, Ron in Texas. Hi, Ron.
Oh.
Welcome. Do you have a question for Dr. Ayoub?
Yeah, I did. I was listening to the show. I missed about the last probably 10 minutes because I lost reception on my radio. But, you know, where I go to school, I work in a neonatal unit in a hospital. And we see during the flu season the extreme risk that influenza virus poses for infants and also for mothers. And I'm wondering, considering the number of lives that are saved each year, I mean, the doctor probably did not mention how many people die every year of influenza. I was wondering, what's the alternative if we were to pull this vaccine off the shelf and not make it available for people because of this perceived risk of abortion and whatnot? What is the alternative that is going to offset this loss of life that we encountered when pulling off the vaccine from the shelf? You see?
Let me comment on the first part of your question. You say that you see a lot of infants that that suffer from influenza.
We see the risk, like the
risk,
the precautions we have to take when keeping things like influenza and rotavirus out of the unit.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially, as you know, in neonates, it's deadly, you know.
Well, you're right. The vaccine isn't recommended below the age of 6 months, for one. So
well,
the vaccine is
right.
Not an option.
Right, but the vaccine does protect the healthcare workers and hopefully a lot of the people who are around that floor and around the nursery.
Mm-hmm.
If that vaccine is not available, then it's putting a lot. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, can you cite me a study that shows that healthcare workers benefit from influenza vaccine? Because I hear that time and time and time again, but there's no study that shows vaccinated healthcare workers have a lower risk of getting it or passing it along. And that's part of the whole myth that we're talking about, that can you vaccinate anyone and reduce disease? I mean, we've been told this over and over and over again. There should be evidence falling off of roofs, you know.
Well, you know, if you remember, the vaccine for poliovirus was quite a hit, and it practically eliminated it. So,
you know, again, I'm going to have to ask you what the evidence
there is. And for smallpox, too, so how can you say that there's not evidence that vaccines don't work when smallpox has been eliminated and polio was on its way to being eliminated, although it's not anymore because of lax vaccination procedures in the third world.
Okay,
and here
Ron,
in America.
I need to interrupt you. You need to do some research on this topic. We have smallpox and polio indexes at vaclib.org that are very extensive. We're collecting books from the 1800s and early 1900s showing a whole different side of this scam that smallpox and polio were eliminated due to toxic vaccines. So please do a little research.
Let
Thank
me
ask, you for your call. So,
let me say one more thing to him. If you emailed me, I will send you a great review article on vitamin D and influenza. Researcher did a great review article just this fall. And his hypothesis, I think, is probably closest to the reason why we have flu in the fall season. It's a vitamin D deficiency, and that's why we get flu when we do in the winter, and that's why they get flu below the equator in the opposite season. So I'll send you that, and there is one thing you can do nutritionally to protect yourself.
Okay, we're coming up to a break, and we're listening to Dr. David Ayoub. The caller line is 800-313-9443. Thank you, Ron, for your call.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com. Your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
We only have just a few more minutes before the top of the hour. You're listening to Dr. David Ayoub, the guest of the American Activist Hour. actually 2 hours on Saturday mornings on the Republic Broadcast Network. So 800-313-9443 if you have a burning question for Dr. David Ayoub. Otherwise, you can email him at raypoke, R-A-Y-P-O-K-E, at mac.com. And he'll send you a whole bunch of articles for further research. So, David, do you have some closing comments you want to give to our listeners?
Well, I like the phrase educate before you vaccinate, and your website provides, and that's the preferred website I use for people who ask questions about vaccine issues specifically or generally. So that's a great place to start. And I would like to promote, again, Autism Media's website. I'm the medical director of that organization called FAIR, Foundation for Autism Information and Research. And there are, as I said, hundreds of hours of interviews with treating doctors, scientists like Boyd Haley and the Geyers. My lecture, I had a one-hour debate at Northwestern Medical School last spring that's on there, and then a two-hour version of my talk will be on there shortly. And there's all sorts of reference materials, all for free.
And so also on that website is the Google video link, right?
Well, let's see. I don't think that is linked to this website. Because I get into the global vaccine politics, which is a little bit off the main path that I'm on politically, per se.
Right.
It brings in a whole other can of worms.
Well, it is. It's a very important, you know, what this Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization is doing worldwide. But at the same time, we got to focus on what's going wrong in our country, the extension of that whole agenda
right
here at home. But autismmedia.org, gosh, I'm definitely going to make sure that we have a link to that on our site because I'm pretty anxious to look at that. This is a great way of getting information. I just have to mention that the Google video of your presentation has been I must have received it at least a dozen times over the last couple months.
Yeah, it's getting popular lately. There wasn't that much of a stir after I gave the presentation, per se, but I've been contacted from some pretty interesting people abroad who have been involved with birth control vaccines being used covertly through the tetanus vaccine program in underdeveloped countries.
Right.
I've seen video footage documentation of it, so it's pretty alarming. And I will say this, that if you look at the complications reported to Gardasil, there are 12 cases of menstrual irregularities, one report of a false positive pregnancy test, which is highly unusual. And one of the concerns I brought up in that lecture 2 years ago, that this HPV vaccine could potentially be an anti-fertility vaccine because they are targeting the right age that anti-fertility vaccines work. And it does have, with the recombinant DNA possibilities, they have the technology to make HCG as a naked DNA strand that they incorporate into viral particles.
That is the biggest fear that a lot of people have with, you know, why this HPV vaccine? Is it a depopulation agenda? Are we really sterilizing our young girls? But anyway, we are definitely at the end of the program. I encourage people to, do a search on Dr. David Ayoub on the website. That's A-Y-O-U-B. You'll come up with all kinds of stuff. And make sure you visit vaccinetruth.com. There's a lot of networking sites there. And thank you so much, David, for being on our program. I really appreciate it. Everyone got a lot of value out of the show.
My pleasure, Ingrid. Thanks for having me.
Okay, thank you. And next week, Don's going to be back in the office, and he's definitely going to be taking over the show, and he will have an exciting guest, I'm sure.